Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us.
Fred.
What's happening, man?
How's your true voice today, man?
I've done a lot of talk. I've done a lot of talking. I just recently had a cold drink. Yeah.
My God, do you have any voice left in your true voice? Or are we going to have to use your untrue voice to get through this podcast tonight?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe feed your voice into ChatGPT or something like that. And we will get a good enough version of your voice that is maybe not necessarily true, but true-ish.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Or use the AI voice. TJ's putting something up here. Or use the AI voice from 11 Labs. What's 11 Labs? Tell us what 11 Labs is, TJ. It allows you to copy. Well, there we go. So from here on out, I think we need to take some samples of your voice. Run it through 11 Labs, apparently, and then we can ask ChatGPT to come up with shit that Fred Moss would say, and we'll just make an avatar of you from here on out. Sound like a plan?
Yeah.
You can just nod your head. This is going to be a fucking wicked podcast. Fred nods and shakes his head, and this is we're off to a good start here.
We get a voiceover.
Voiceover, yes, indeed. We're just going to fill in the gaps. This whole conversation, we'll record this podcast, and then when it actually gets posted onto Apple Podcasts or whatever, we'll just voiceover you through the whole thing.
That's a good idea.
We could have some fun with that, couldn't we? You just generating whatever the narrator from heaven, Fred, nods his head along to Sam's inquiry. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You could have anything I would never say.
I could, I don't know. I don't know if there is anything that you would never say. Mm-hmm. I still have yet to figure out whether there is anything that you would never say. I could have you boasting about your views on certain hardcore political views, like way out there political views, and we could just roll with that and see what the consequences are. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's possible. Sure. I'd be down with that.
You'd be down with that.
Yeah, I've just had two really major conversations today. I did a webinar where I led for 90 minutes and no coughing at all. And then I did my mastermind, which was also 90 minutes and no coughing there. But the cough does happen. It seems like it happens when I drink something cold or eat something hot or when I sit down too long. Somehow my lungs collapse a little bit and I'm not able to get a full breath in.
Mm, yeah, that's what I'm feeling over there. That looks rough. Yeah. Well, hey, don't push yourself beyond your limits just because you think that you're supposed to for this podcast.
Right.
Take care of yourself. Okay. I've been joking around a little bit here, but obviously, I can see that you're in a fragile condition right now. And so
a little bit fragile, not too bad. Not too bad up here.
Yeah. What was the topic of the workshop you're doing?
It was the True Voice course, and it was a full introduction to the True Voice course via the five ways you can rediscover your voice using podcasting, and then advertising, taking, it was all three participants in a webinar, and taking them to the end product, which is a True Voice course, which comes with You and a Healer, and then also comes with Eric's course this weekend, and showing people how to get a podcast off the ground in 2 days, and also comes with an entry into the mastermind associated with the course. So it was, I think it came across really very well, very well. I was very pleased with the product.
Good
production. Yeah.
Excellent. I have no doubt that that's the case.
Yeah.
Good for you, brother. Yeah. So tell me, how are things? I mean, you're clearly going through a shit ton over the past couple of weeks.
Right.
Your insights.
Yeah, the insights, you know, it's there's a real difference between, you know, confidently breathing and not confidently breathing. Like right now, breathing is important more than seemingly more than usual because it's not obvious that it's available at a full speed. So when I have to stop and find a breath, it takes a moment and it slows things down. Other times, like in the middle of the night, I took a long walk back and forth from the living room to the bedroom and back about 10 times. And I got my breath pretty well. And that was really rewarding, you know, was the idea that I can stand up and to actually take a full breath. And I did a constellation today looking at my breath and any kind of psychological or early wounds that might actually be playing into blockages I have in taking a full breath naturally. So, more than anything, I would say my focus is on my breath. And, you know, people who, you know, people who are healthy want a lot, want a lot of things. And people who are unhealthy want one thing. I think that's true with breath too. You know, when your breath isn't obvious, then it's really important to get it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had, I can relate, believe it or not. There was a moment back in, I guess it was probably January of 2000, maybe December of 1999, something like that, where, it was probably around then, November, December, shortly after my spinal cord injury. I had about a liter of fluid build up around my lung from the trauma, and doctors had to go in with a pretty substantial size syringe.
Right.
And there was no general anesthesia and very little local anesthesia. So I felt this giant needle go through my pierce between two ribs in order for them to get it. And that was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced in my life. And they drained a liter of fluid out from around my lungs. And suddenly my lungs were now occupying space that they hadn't occupied for the entire time that that fluid had been built up. And I never knew just how much lungs would adapt to occupy whatever space they were able to, and how fucking painful it would be to get them to start to occupy the full space that they were supposed to occupy after they had spent a little bit of time being compressed due to that fluid. And so starting to breathe again after that was incredibly painful. It felt like I was tearing open my rib cage just trying to take a half a breath, not even a full breath, just a fraction of a breath. Felt like every breath was painful. So I can get it, man. I can get it. And it's, I mean, talk about something that takes you away from being at ease and relaxed about life when every breath feels like it's a strain. You know, we neglect to appreciate just how much the automatic nature of breathing maintains a certain degree of equanimity.
Right.
And as soon as that is taken away and suddenly a breath is strained and feels like, oh my God, what, like this is this, now I have to put effort into this. This isn't just going to be automatic. This is going to be something that requires focus and effort and concentration to keep breathing. That can tweak the nervous system a bit. And yeah. So, you know, I'm feeling you. I'm empathetic, and you know, I can feel, yeah, I mean, you don't even have to say anything. I can feel the way that this has your nervous system a little bit tweaked right yeah. now. And so, you know, it can put you in that sort of fight, flight, or freeze mode a little bit. Like, oh shit, this is, yeah. So I just want to throw that in there, throw that into the pot.
Yeah. Well, I hope they don't have to put a needle in and take on any atelectasis. I think I'm breathing enough, so that's not happening. But
yeah, good.
But it is a little bit trying at times.
Is this to be expected? Do they just surgeon?
Yeah.
They said you're gonna feel pretty fucked up for a little while, huh?
Is that? Well, I don't. It's not sustained fucked up at all. There were times today I felt really good. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's 100% like this. And even now, I notice I'm not coughing right this moment, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But the healing process does take something. I guess my lungs collapsed as a natural way of dealing with the open heart surgery. And so they have to expand and fill the same gaps you're talking about.
I got it. Yeah. So you're feeling that sort of ripping and tearing feeling as right. the lungs. Oh, geez. That is not fun.
Right.
So anyone listening to this, I invite anyone and everyone to breathe along with Fred right now. You know, getting behind. And this is not only useful for getting behind a brother in need in this situation, but anytime anyone needs anything or can use a little assist, best thing you can do is do it with them. So I'm here with you, breathing with you right now and holding that breath.
That's cool.
With you. Yeah. And I invite anyone listening to this to do the same. You know, this is the real deal. This is a real deal. We come on here a lot with, you know, a certain sort of joviality, you know, and I certainly started this session today with some joviality, and joviality is great. And hey, it's fun when we can just joke around and have a good time, but this is where the rubber meets the road. This is, you know, this is the most truthful in a certain way. You know, you're talking about True Voice Podcast. This is the most truthful in many respects that I think I may have ever seen you right now in this space right here. This is the raw truth of life, is that there are moments where every breath, the next breath is kind of an uncertain experience of how it happens and what life looks like in this moment. And so,
yeah.
I want to honor that right now.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's not quite as bad as you think. As you're laying it out, but it's real for sure, and I've been standing up for a few hours. Yeah. And sitting down doesn't necessarily relieve it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Cuz the lungs collapse a little bit when you sit down too. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, you know, during this healing process, what you really want to be able to do is fully relax and fully let go and just relax more deeply than you've ever relaxed before. And there's a sort of a paradoxical relationship between what the body needs in order to sustain itself and what you need in terms of that relaxation. Yeah. So I get that right now, as you're here right now, I get that there's a sort of a razor's edge to be found between letting yourself relax as much as you possibly can so that your body can heal, and at the same time breathing in a way that is not going to feel relaxed, because your lungs are straining right now. Yeah. And being on that razor's edge between just enough effort to keep your lungs moving, keep air moving through your body, and while at the same time relaxing as deeply as you can simultaneously, you're starting to walk some razor's edge stuff like I have with my own healing in my life.
Yeah, exactly.
I can appreciate what this takes. This is definitely a razor's edge.
Yeah. It's okay to talk about something else, but it is a front edge for sure.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about, man? We have another probably 10 or 15 before I'm going to have to pop off for a meeting, but you take it in a direction and I'll follow, brother.
There's something about healing that, you know, is when I recognize that on the other side of healing is going to be healed, that's a whole different game too. Rather than like, you know, contracting to the healing process as if something's wrong, somehow coming through the healing process, realizing that I'm on my way to a magical outcome of being healed, creates an entirely new way of looking at the world as well. You know, when you can look forward to being on the other side of healed rather than being a victim to the healing process. I'd love to hear what you say about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not always obvious in the midst of it that there is that light at the end of the tunnel. It can feel so overwhelming when you're in it, that perspective can be pretty damn elusive from my own experience. Right. And that's, I think that is probably the greatest challenge that a human being can have, is to be in the midst of a literally existential situation that is potentially life-threatening and all-consuming, and yet simultaneously hold that this is a temporal experience and that there is something available on the other side of this, where the circumstances would seem by all intents and purposes to suggest this is the suck and there's no way out. This is the suck. And that awareness that this is something to go through.
Right.
And that there is something on the other side of this, because the nervous system doesn't really know how to handle that. You know, it's like, it's almost like this tests the nature of our spirit more than anything else possibly can, because the biological vessel that we are in is not geared towards a future relationship with a more enlightened, wise, connected version of itself. The biological animal that we all reside in is all it's thinking about is now, and I am in trouble. Oh shit, I'm in fucking trouble. And that the messages, the hormonal messages and the neurological messages that are contained in that experience can be so overwhelmingly intense that it feels like there is no escape. And so it speaks a lot to your spiritual maturity right now to even have that awareness that this is a temporary experience, that there is light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah. Even as I sit down now, I realize that I'm pressing the edge of my lungs, that my lungs want to be standing up and hanging fully, but my ribs are tired from standing up all day. Mm. And I also want to really acknowledge that, I don't like being the topic of the subject of this. I don't enjoy this at all. I don't enjoy that my breathing has dominated this conversation. I feel both kind of embarrassed about it, but I also feel like there's other things we should talk about.
I understand. And we can move in any direction. And I want to just acknowledge that there is no reason to be embarrassed or ashamed of anything, just in the same way that being paraplegic, there is no reason for me to feel embarrassed about being impotent or the times that I've shit my pants in public or anything, because I'm not this body. This body is a temporary vessel that I'm experiencing. And I get it. I've gone through the shame and I've gone through the embarrassment. And boy, oh boy, if there's one message that I would like our audience to get, is that the circumstances that your body and your mind go through are not personal. There's nothing to take personally about anything that your body and mind is able to experience in this reality. Probably the most important thing that we can all get. And that's where it gets fucking real. That's where it gets really fucking real. Ah, this is a moment where I'd love to hear a caller call in and speak to this. If TJ, can you throw the number up on the 1-888-627-6008? That's 1-888-627-6008. You want to call in, we can bring you on and talk. This is some good stuff. This is the powerful stuff. This is where the true voice is really at. So anyway, how about those giants?
One of the pieces here is that true voice does require lung space.
The true voice does require lung space. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Indeed. Every voice requires a breath, for sure. It's something that I've worked with clients over many times. And this is something that I just intuitively came to myself. No one ever taught me this, but it's something, because I incorporate breath work in my coaching practice, it seemed very natural to look at breathing as an art, not just art and science, not just for doing breath work practices as things that are separate from other things that we might do, like something like going to the gym or something like that, or meditation or whatever, but to look at the art of breathing in any given moment. And one of the things that I've noticed from 47 years of observing myself and observing other people is that for most people, breath tends to be, when it's not being focused on, it tends to be shallow. And it tends to be erratic and non-rhythmic. In other words, if someone is speaking, you can pretty much be guaranteed that they're going to breathe in at times where they're catching their breath to say something else. And it's like, I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you never really feel a full breath when people are communicating. And it made me wonder, why is that? What is it about our nervous systems and the way in which we speak and share our thoughts that leads us to being disconnected from the breath? Because really, when I'm speaking, or when anyone is speaking, it's an exhale with tone and meaning. I'm applying meaning, and I'm applying resonance and vibration to my exhale in order to communicate a thought. So why don't I exhale all the way when I'm communicating? I believe in deep, full breaths, and I believe in the power of deep, full breaths. Then why not do it all the time, even when I'm speaking? So for years, I've trained my clients to notice, are they breathing all the way out as they're sharing their thoughts? Are they allowing themselves the honor and respect to let their breath move all the way through before taking another inhale? And even as I say this right now, I'm aware of my breath going all the way out and then filling my lungs back up again. And it's not that every breath needs to necessarily go all the way out, but in general, establishing that as a foundation so that even when I complete a thought, I'm still allowing the exhale to complete before taking in the next inhale. You know, musicians do this. Someone who's playing trumpet or playing saxophone or trombone, especially wind instruments, maybe not so much with flautists. I notice a lot of flautists taking those quick breaths, but didgeridoo players, boy, that's if you want to learn how to breathe, practice didgeridoo, because that's all about the deep cyclical breaths. That's really a powerful way of learning some deep breathing. But yeah, this, go ahead, Fred.
What is that called?
Didgeridoo. You're familiar with those instruments, the Australian Aboriginal instruments, the ones that go, you've heard them, I'm sure. Wow, 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 wow. And they're long, long tubular instruments. Yeah. So when you're playing didgeridoo, in order to play didgeridoo properly, the proper technique involves circular breathing. So you breathe through the tube and you're creating a vibration with your lips as you're breathing down the tube of the didgeridoo. Because you need to maintain that sound, you don't take any breaks with the sound. So the air has to be coming from somewhere. So what a didgeridoo player has to learn how to do is to breathe in their nose as they're breathing out their mouth. So there's a special technique that allows you to be exhaling from your mouth while simultaneously breathing in through your nostrils so that you can keep the air circulating so that the tone keeps coming without a break. It's phenomenal. And I think other, probably saxophone players sometimes learn this type of technique as well. But with didgeridoo, it's especially important because the whole power of the instrument relies on its consistency, relies on the lack of space. It's pretty cool technique to learn. A cool instrument. One of the most ancient instruments on the planet. It's been used for thousands of years with the Aboriginals in Australia. And now it's used by hippies all over North America.
Yeah, I didn't get an opportunity to blow on one, but I did get an opportunity to see one and touch it and carry it. They're pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty incredible. I think the original ones were made by termites hollowing out. What is it, bamboo? Is it bamboo? It's some, I'm not sure what the material is, but I do know that the hollow core of a didgeridoo is created by termites hollowing it out. Which sounds pretty disgusting. You want to make sure the termites aren't still in the didgeridoo when you put it up to your mouth and start playing it. Probably be a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should call it a day for today.
I respect that, brother. I love you, Fred.
Thank you.
Go get some rest.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Speak to you very soon.
All right. Bye for now.
Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their True Voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?